tradition, which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scale?
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. People up and down the East Coast are picking up the pieces after a deadly storm system knocked out power to hundreds of thousands of customers and canceled or delayed thousands of flights. This man lives in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania.
Boom! I just heard it was like a tree bomb in my house. I heard all this noise, didn't know what it was. Trees falling on the roof, destroyed my deck, destroyed my hot tub, messing up with the side porch and this huge one on the yard and lines down.
One person died after they were hit by lightning in Alabama, another killed by a falling tree in South Carolina. About 300,000 customers still have no power. More than 1,000 flights have been canceled or delayed so far today. Polls open in Ohio in a half an hour in a special election called by Republican lawmakers that could make it more difficult to enshrine abortion rights in the state constitution. Rachel Bells heads the group Ohio Citizen Action.
It seems as though they know it's about the abortion constitutional amendment for November, that the timing is about that. Basically make it 10% harder to pass that in November.
It would raise the bar for amendments from a simple majority to 60%. The judge in former President Trump's election interference case has asked both sides to come to court for a hearing this week on the Justice Department request to limit what Mr. Trump can say about the evidence against him. Traffic officers, gardeners, mechanics, custodians, and lifeguards are staging a one-day strike in Los Angeles today, joining writers, actors, and hotel workers already picketing. Union rep Gilda Valdez.
Recruitment and retention is a big, big problem for the city of Los Angeles. And so the workers are tired of working short-staffed.
Mayor Bass says police, firefighters, and paramedics will still be available. President Biden will be in Arizona today for an announcement on the Grand Canyon and protecting it from uranium mining long-term. CBS's Bo Erickson.
Interior Secretary Deb Haaland said this new national monument honors the Native American ancestors who were forced out of the area by the federal government when the Grand Canyon Park System was established in the early 1900s.
The company that helped millions of us work from home is calling most of its own employees back to the office. CBS's Chanel Call.
Zoom is asking its 7,400 workers who live near a company office to report to their desks twice a week, effective immediately. That marks the end of a fully remote era for the software company, which benefited enormously from the COVID-19-driven rise in remote work.
S&P futures down 19. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
When you if you care sleeping. About animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Johnny brought in a coffee maker because...
Keurig.
Yeah. You don't even know how to say it. It doesn't know how to operate.
I know how to use it.
So no, I don't know about that. But he goes, go make some coffee. Yeah, I go back. He didn't really say that. I said, I'll go make some coffee. I went back there. I just couldn't get, I don't know, it didn't work. And I came in here because all over my shirt. Because where the hell were you?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
presidential election in Ohio today, but there is, because of its impact on an election coming up in November, that's all about abortion rights and the Ohio Constitution. But conservatives have managed to rig the process. They've basically cheated at a game they had already rigged in order to try to prevent a majority of Ohio voters from saying they support a woman's right to abortion care and that it should be in the Constitution. So we will have details on that as well. So much still ahead, including, of course, the full weatherology forecast. You'll get a short version of that coming up right after this commercial break. And then plenty of details coming up from Jennifer Wojcicki and others who will tell us all about what to expect from the weather across Wisconsin, where, again, it's just gorgeous out. Windows are open. If you had the air conditioning on yesterday, open up those windows. It's a beautiful morning out there. Maybe a little chilly up north, but, you know, we're hardy folks. We're used to it. Back with more right after this. You're up north.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Baugh.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Has to be the sentiment of Attorney General Josh Call and others who believe that with a newly progressive majority on the state Supreme Court that abortion rights care will be returned to women in Wisconsin. We'll have details on that coming up in just a moment. But first, we have to tell you about Freddy Peralta, the Brewers starting pitcher. He struck out the first batter playing the Colorado Rockies at American Family Field last night. And then the second batter came up and hit a home run. And then that was it. The Brewers came within that one pitch of throwing a perfect game last night, smashing the Rockies 12-1. That home run was Peralta's only hit. He went seven innings, matched his career high of 13 strikeouts over those seven innings. And then Elvis Peguero and Andrew Chafin combined to no-hit the Rockies as well, so that it was 28 batters. One of them hit a home run. The other 27 were out. And so Milwaukee stays atop the National League Central, a game and a half of the Cincinnati Reds. It was only the third time in Brewers franchise history that they yielded only one base runner in an entire game. There was that combined no-hitter 2 years ago by Corbin Burnes and Josh Hader. And then there was a one-hitter combined by Brandon Woodruff and Matt Albers back in 2019. So Freddie Peralta, who's now had 10 career starts of at least five innings with either one hit or no hits, is, thinking maybe someday he gets the no-hitter. This is the guy who, remember, 5 years ago, he got his start against the Rockies at Coors Field, and in his debut, he struck out 13 batters. Just quality start. And here's an interesting statistic. And again, StatCast has only been tracking these things since 2008, so we can't go way back. But last night, Freddie Peralta induced 31 whiffs. In other words, 31 swings and misses from Rockies batters since 2008 when they've been tracking that. That's the most whiffs ever for a Brewers pitcher. Can you imagine if we'd had, how far back that goes? What is the actual record for whiffs by pitchers against the batters? Before that, the Brewers had a 30 swings and misses when going up against the Corbin Burnes. When was that? August of 2021. So anyway, this just all goes to say a masterful pitching performance. Bryce Turang had a two-run home run in the first inning. It sparked a five-run inning, a lot of other clutch at-bats. It's just one of those things where, Sal Frelick is really getting going as well. In fact, there's an interesting stat here on this rookie. In his first 39 career plate appearances at American Family Field, Frelick has 10 hits, including three home runs. He has 15 RBIs in his first 16 games. That's a Brewers record. He beat out the previous record holder, a rookie by the name of Paul Molitor. And you know how things went for Molly after that. Pretty good year. So a lot of stats there to share to you by MLB beat writer Adam McKelvey, but just an outstanding game that I thought you might want to hear about. All right, let's get back to the headlines at hand here, and that includes Wisconsin's Attorney General Josh Call saying that he has seen enough, and he believes that a Dane County judge has seen enough as well, and wants the judge to go ahead and rule on his challenge to the 1849 law that had been construed as an abortion ban, and to wrap it up without any further oral arguments, because that was going to be the next step in the case. Let's rewind the tape a little bit here. So the U.S. Supreme Court, in the Dobbs decision, overturned Roe v. Wade and turned the U.S. into a checkerboard of states where women have rights in some states, restrictions in some other states. In Wisconsin, that was kind of a murky picture because there is a law in the books from 1985 that essentially codifies the abortion rights in Roe v. Wade. But there's also this archaic law from 1849 written in a way that it's not obvious to tell, is this an abortion ban? Because abortion bans, that wasn't really a political debate in 1849. And yet it could be that that's what the law says if you were to read it. And so after the Dobbs decision, the folks who do provide abortion care in Wisconsin ceased operations, forcing women with problem pregnancies and other health care needs to go to other states. Attorney General Josh Call and others filed a legal challenge in court about the 1849 law, including three physicians, which includes our friend Dr. Kristen Lyerly. All part of this lawsuit that we've always called it a challenge to the 1849 law, but it was actually a lawsuit that seeks some legal clarity to ask a court, look at the language of this 1849 law. Is this in fact an abortion ban or is it not? And so abortion rights are protected under the 1985 law. Well, last month, in case you missed it, a judge in Dane County did rule on this and did rule that the way that she reads that old language, it is not an abortion ban. It's a law against feticide, basically, you know, beating up a woman so that she will lose her pregnancy. That's what the law says. It is not about a consensual abortion. But that wasn't her overall ruling, the judge, Diane Schlipper of Dane County. She was simply ruling on a motion in the case. But now, Josh Call, the state attorney general, says, can we just go ahead and finish and rule on the whole case? Because he's that confident that the Dane County judge will say, yes, in fact, looking at the entire case, that is what the 1849 law says. It is not an abortion ban, and that women's abortion rights are in fact protected in Wisconsin under the 1985 law. So Attorney General Call has filed that motion saying, we don't need any more oral arguments. You can just go ahead and make your ruling. We have no idea if Judge Schlipper is going to go along with that. And to be fair, we don't actually know that that will be her final judgment. There could be something else that she's reading into it once you look at the full case that is before her. Regardless of when and how she rules, the case will certainly be appealed. It would normally go to an appeals court and then almost certainly go to the state Supreme Court. It might just be picked up directly by the state Supreme Court, which is now under progressive control after Justice Janet Protasiewicz took a seat on the court last week, replacing a retiring conservative justice. And so you see where the timing is coming in here. Attorney General Call filed this challenge last year, but now, less than a week after the state Supreme Court control flips, he sees the opportunity to essentially give the wrap-up signal here and say to the Dane County Court, let's go ahead and move this along. He's no longer concerned that this will end up at the state Supreme Court and be facing a conservative majority when there's now a majority there that is more likely to protect a woman's reproductive health care rights. So we'll see what the judge does in this case. And then once she rules, however she rules, we'll see how this moves to the Wisconsin Supreme Court for further consideration. There's an election in Ohio today. There shouldn't be an election in Ohio today, but there is. It's not about abortion rights, but it is. Here's the background. There's going to be a ballot question in November in Ohio on amending the state constitution to enshrine a woman's right to abortion care. Republicans, conservatives, they already knew that people in favor of women's reproductive health care rights were gathering the signatures for this. And they decided to do something about it. And what they decided to do about it was essentially cheat, try to rig the game. You see, way back earlier this year, Republicans in the Ohio legislature did away with special elections because they saw what was happening in other states, that special elections were being called to enshrine abortion rights into the state constitution. So they thought, let's get rid of that because a special election maybe means a whole bunch of people from only one side are motivated to come out. So we're getting rid of special elections. You can only have these kind of constitutional issues during regularly scheduled elections. Fine. So Ohioans started gathering signatures to put this constitutional measure on the ballot for this November. Ohio Republicans and conservatives said, oh, wait, they're going to get around the way we tried to rig this? Let's try to rig it further. And so they set up a special election. You know, the thing that they had banished for others, but the rules don't apply to them. So they scheduled a special election for now, for August 8th, to change the rules of how to amend Ohio's constitution, that it no longer requires 50% plus one, a majority vote to amend the Constitution, the way it always has in Ohio. No. We're going to change the rules in this special election that we weren't supposed to have, but we're calling it anyway, to raise the threshold to 60%. And so if that measure were to pass today, then the constitutional measure in November would now need a 60% supermajority to pass, rather than what the current rules are, you know, the same current rules that say there shouldn't be any more special elections. But when you can't win on the issues, apparently you cheat. And that's what's happening in Ohio. It's going to lead to a big turnout. It's already led to very long lines for early voting and polling, because another thing that Republicans have done in Ohio, as well as other states, is make it harder to vote. Make it harder to vote, especially in cities that might have more progressive voters. And so there are communities that, I forget if it's one per county or one per community, that they can only have one early voting site. And so you see these immensely long lines where people want to vote on the measure. And again, there's only one political class in America. There's only one major political class in the world that is dedicated to making it harder for its own citizens to vote rather than easier. And that would be the Republican Party of the United States of America. It doesn't mean every Republican feels that way. It doesn't mean every conservative feels that way. But it means the ones who are in power right now are willing to suppress others' votes rather than try to win on the issues, to win popular support for their values. We'll see how the election goes today in Ohio. Coming up next, Christina Laurie. She puts together the Up North News daily newsletter, and she has the Uplift, some of the more uplifting stories that you can find in what she puts out around 5 a.m. by email. Hope that you'll get to our website, sign up for it there at upnorthnewswi.com. She'll tell us about the Sporkies, basically the Oscars of food at the state fair. We'll be back after this. You're Up North.
Bottom line, no matter what, face everything and rise.
Thank you, Pitbull.
Tuesday morning, that brings... Tuesday morning, that brings us to The Uplift with Christina Laurie. She puts together the daily newsletter for Up North News. Find it on the website, upnorthnewswi.com, where she is on the lookout for the people, the places, the events, the things that make life in Wisconsin just a little bit better every day. And in this case, the every day is limited. It's the days of the Wisconsin State Fair, Christina, because we're going to start by talking about fair food. And not just any fair food that wins awards. How are you?
Yes, I'm great. How are you? I'm even better always when I'm talking about food. So
exactly. Yes.
The Sporkies and Drinkies winners have officially been announced for the 2023 Wisconsin State Fair. It's basically like the Oscars of the fair. I don't think quite as prestigious, you know, just one level down.
Yes.
But the winners are very exciting for us. So in first place, and they split it up, the Sporkies is food and the Drinkies, obviously drinks. Mm-hmm. So I have the top three in each to tell you about. First one in terms of food is called a beer cheese Wisconsin lava cake. And it's from the Worst Bar. It's basically a pretzel roll that is just stuffed with beer cheese. No actual cake involved, but that's the kind of lava cake I can get behind.
Yeah, I was a little worried at first there, but until you mentioned pretzel, but yeah, I can see where they're spoofing the original, but that sounds real good.
It's entirely savory. This next one is a combo of both. So you really have to like the salty sweet mashup. It's called the Porky. It came in second place. You can get it at the Camp Bar, and it's basically a soft serve sundae that has all your traditional sundae fixins, the chocolate sauce topped with a cherry, but then it's also sprinkled with pork rinds and bacon. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really willing to try that. Hold the chocolate sauce though. I'm the weirdo who doesn't like chocolate. And then in third place in the food category is a deep fried apple pie from Saz's Barbecue. And that's totally screaming my name. It is what it is. It's a deep fried apple pie. How can you go wrong? The only thing that kind of stunned me about this one is that it's not served on a stick, which is very atypical for fair food.
Yeah, I can't imagine why you wouldn't do that. I suppose it's almost cliche, but you know, it's tradition as well. Plus, Saz's, it's going to be good. Camp Bar is a place where I normally stop the Wauwatosa one before I go to Brewers games. Where did the beer cheese lava cake pretzel come from?
That's from Worst Bar.
Worst Bar. That's right. Okay. So just in case people want to check those places out, not just the food that they do at the fair. Those are your winners of the Sporkies. You got the Drinkies too?
I do. I just have the number one for the Drinkies because those get even more complicated. So there's like a lot of ingredients. It's a lot to describe. I would just push you to our website to check out the full list because so many of them are really good. But the first place winner really just does kind of sum up Wisconsin in a nutshell. It's called the Ferris Mule, and it's from the Old Fashioned Sipper Club. And what it is a non-alcoholic mule that's crafted with fresh blackberries, ginger beer, freshly squeezed lime juice, and agave nectar, all hand-shaken, poured over ice. Sounds like a really refreshing summer drink, and one that people obviously of all ages can enjoy as well.
Yeah, very much so. And I would imagine on one of the warmer days of the fair, that would be awfully refreshing, but good anytime. All right. If you can't get
just one quick thing I did want to mention that if you are a food lover, today is an especially great day to go to the fair because it's what's called Crazy Grazin Day. And you can get smaller portions of more than 30 different types of food for only $2 or $3 instead of the typical 8 to 10. So it's great if you want to go there and kind of do your own taste of the Wisconsin State Fair and just try a little of everything.
So it's a food fair within the fair.
Yes.
Very nice. All right. Let's stick with food because there's something that's been growing out there. Pizza farms. We're used to like wedding barns were a thing, and now pizza farms are getting to be a thing. And I like this because it's, you know, small businesses are able to, you know, grow in all kinds of areas and all kinds of niches. What are we learning about that?
And despite their name, farmers aren't actually growing pizza. We're not,
there's no
They're
pizza
growing
seeds.
All of the ingredients.
No, yes, exactly.
They're growing all the ingredients that go on the pizza. And I think it's a really great idea because for a long time, Wisconsin has hosted a lot, especially in the summer, of breakfasts on the farm. But a lot of times those are early or families are busy and can't do them on the weekends. So in an effort to get more people out to their farms, they're hosting pizza nights. And you can go and you can, you know, there are places all the way from Stockholm and Athens to Cochrane, Prescott, wherever you are in the state. We made a list of five that we checked out that we loved. And they serve just really fresh pizzas. Most of them are made on wood fire ovens. You pick the freshest ingredients. They're made to order. And it's a great night. And it's also one of the positives that stuck around since the pandemic, because these were really spearheaded out of necessity when people, the only option to safely enjoy a night out was to be outside. And I'm glad that stuck around because there's really nothing better than sitting outside on a nice, non-humid Wisconsin night and enjoying some fresh food.
Yes, exactly. And last one we want to hit, it kind of ties into our hometown health segment last week, where we talked about how communities are embracing more green space, more pedestrian space, more bike space. And some folks have been looking at Wisconsin communities to see which ones are especially walkable and bikeable. What are we learning?
Well, you've probably seen both Milwaukee and Madison pretty frequently top lists of the most active cities in America because there's a lot of bikers there, which is always very surprising to me because we're usually one of the only cities on the list that is not super pleasant all four seasons. Usually you see the spots in California topping those lists, but it's because of our really thorough network of trails and bike paths. I know that there's a great line, the Capital City Trail here in Madison where I am. And there's initiatives to turn old railroad lines into trails all throughout the state. So there's a website that's called walkscore.com, and its entire purpose is just to score every city in the country that has a certain population. I think the threshold is at least 5,000 people based on how bikeable and walkable it is. So here in Wisconsin, the number one most walkable city is Milwaukee, which makes sense because out of necessity, it has to be. But tied for second are both Wauwatosa and West Allis, which is very interesting because they're both traditionally more suburban. Then in fourth is Racine, and fifth is up north in La Crosse. And there are plenty of other cities in Wisconsin that also scored very highly. So I'd encourage you to go check out that list. It's very interesting. In terms of bikeability, though, Madison and La Crosse are both tied for number one. Third is Stevens Point. Fourth is Middleton, and then there's a three-way tie for fifth, Fitchburg, Milwaukee, and Sheboygan. I feel bad because the true up north of Wisconsin is not super represented on this list, but again, that probably makes sense because you guys get a heck of a lot more snow.
Well, it's that, but I think they should also check out, for example, as I mentioned last week, the Old Abe Trail and what Eau Claire has done to try to get itself connected. You can go from Chippewa Falls to Eau Claire to Menominee, but in terms of the community itself being bikeable, I feel like there are plenty of others out there that just need to get this place's attention and maybe get that score up because people really do embrace their biking and their walking all around here. So for these stories and more, find our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter there. And early every morning, you'll see what Christina Laurie has put together for us. Christina, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You as well. Thanks.
Now let's get back to some of the other headlines we were following. We'd mentioned earlier about Attorney General Josh Call filing a motion to speed up the challenge to the 1849 law. Is it in fact an abortion law, an abortion ban, or is it not in terms of the legal definition of it? Also, the Attorney General, I'm sure, is going to be feeling even more pressure to do something about Wisconsin's fake electors. The 10 people who showed up in the state capitol on a December day in 2020 and signed paperwork that said that Donald Trump had won the state of Wisconsin when he did not. Now, whether the State Department of Justice is investigating the fake electors or not, whether they will be charged or not, we don't know. And the attorney general won't say, because he says he can't talk about any investigations that might be ongoing. Now, he also hasn't said that they are not being investigated. In fact, most of the attention for the fake electors is happening at the federal level and is playing a role in the latest criminal indictment against former President Trump for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. But back at the state level, Governor Tony Evers has weighed in as well a few days back and said there has to be accountability for the 10 fake Trump electors from Wisconsin, which, by the way, includes Bob Spindell, who was and is a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He was even reappointed to the commission by State Senate Republican leader Devin Lemahieu, even after it had been revealed that Spindell was one of the fake electors. The governor was asked by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the other day if he would feel confident in state elections going forward if the fraudulent electors don't face any criminal charges, and the governor said, well, no, there has to be accountability. What they did was wrong, and so I'm hoping somebody will pick up the banner here because this has to happen. So again, keep in mind the governor's not saying that Josh Call has to prosecute them. He's also not clearly saying it has to happen at the federal level. He's simply saying that there has to be some level of accountability. And the attorney general agrees. Josh Call has said, you know, that, quote, it's critical that people who committed crimes with the intent of overturning the results of an election are held accountable. And so the fake electors plot, as I mentioned, is going to be part of the latest criminal case against Trump. The Washington Post has a story about the inside debate in the Trump campaign after the 2020 election, where the debate was whether this was indeed a clear path forward for the campaign, whether it was just a contingency plan in case voter fraud was found, or if it was, according to one note, a donkey show, meaning that it was just something that was being put up there to appease the current president, President Trump, at the time. And it really depends on what level you are in the campaign. It was a higher level of insiders, Rudy Giuliani, most prominent among them, who was looking at this as the strategy to overturn the election results, not the strategy to find fraud and to then have a backup plan in place, but to actually overturn the election because they knew there was no fraud. And so there was inner dialogue about keeping parts of this scheme under wraps so that it doesn't get out. There were different types of language used in Pennsylvania and New Mexico compared to Wisconsin and the other states, because in those two states, Republicans there at least had the sense that God gave a goose and said, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is on the up and up. And so the Trump campaign kind of added some special contingency language. But in the case of Wisconsin, there was no such language there. And so the Wisconsin fraudulent ballot by the fake electors and the Michigan fraudulent ballot by the fake electors, those ballots were going to go to the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021. And a Wisconsin-based attorney working for the Trump campaign called Ron Johnson and asked that some papers about the election be delivered to Vice President Mike Pence. And Pence, thankfully, having already been pressured many times by Donald Trump, again, had the good sense to say no. But now it must be asked, not just of people in the Trump campaign, but of the electors. Were those fake electors, were they being duped? Were they acting in good faith that this was just some kind of a legal contingency? Or were they, in fact, clued in, or at least knowledgeable enough about election law to know they shouldn't have done this, that they were committing the crime of election fraud? And whether that comes from Josh Call or somebody else, Governor Evers is saying, rightfully so, there should be accountability for these 10 Republicans, especially one that is still in the position of sitting on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Today's history lesson and music break coming up next. You're up north.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm meteorologist Megan Hatton. A calm weather day for your Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high 85. Tonight, partly to mostly clear, the low around 60. Heading into Wednesday, we'll start with some sunshine. Clouds will build for the afternoon, a few spotty showers and storms, high 84. Right now, it's 57.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
It's time for a true musical confession here that I've never seen Xanadu, which I know nobody actually saw it when it was in theaters originally. On this day in 1980, when it opened in theaters to scathing reviews, it's become one of those legendary box office flops. But you'd think at some point, knowing what a flop it is or was, I would expose myself to it, especially since I like Gene Kelly. I like the old movies, you know, Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire and all of that. And I think maybe that was part of it, was that I really like Gene Kelly and I didn't want to see him in some kind of a turkey. But I think I'm going to have to finally sit down and watch this thing. As one of the movie reviewers referenced Xanadu back in the day, in a word, Xanadon't. It is the movie that inspired the Golden Raspberry Awards for Worst Films of the Year. But the soundtrack did well, as we've mentioned happened with other movies, you know, like FM and what have you. But there's Olivia singing the title track. She sings Magic. She has a duet with Cliff Richard, Suddenly. And by the way, in a kind of bittersweet note, Xanadu opened this day in 1980. And Olivia Newton-John passed away 1 year ago today after many battles with cancer over the years. Also noteworthy, again, bittersweet, Glenn Campbell died on this day 6 years ago today. Let's get to some more upbeat news about today's history lesson. The Beatles, their iconic Abbey Road album cover, they shot that photo on this day in 1969 at the crosswalk outside of Abbey Road Studios where they were recording. All right, let's go from the sublime to the silly. Here was the number one song this week in 1960.
She was afraid to come out of the locker.
This is Brian Tyler.
She was as nervous as she could be. She was afraid to come out of the locker.
it that somebody would say.
2, 3, 4, tell the people what she wore.
You can go ahead and say
it. It was an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini that she wore for the first time today.
Brian Hyland's Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, number one song this day in 1960. A year later, on this day in 1961 in East London, a baby boy was born, the name of David Evans. You know him better as The Edge, a member of U2. And it was on this day in 1987 that U2 landed their second number one hit in the United States with I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, from the album The Joshua Tree. We'll hear that one a little later on. On this day in 1970, Janis Joplin was drinking at a bar right before her concert in Port Chester, New York. And as she was drinking at the bar, she wrote a song that she would sing later that night and then release as a record. And it would go like this.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Janis Joplin would do only one more show after that concert before her untimely, if not entirely unexpected, death. And that brings us to Amy Winehouse and her untimely, if not entirely unexpected, death, because it was on this day in 2007 that Amy Winehouse overdosed on a mixture of alcohol, heroin, cocaine, ecstasy, and ketamine after doing a pub crawl in London. She was hospitalized. It caused the cancellation of her first U.S. tour. The record company said, "You got to go to rehab for all this." She said no and wrote this record about it.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no.
So it's funny, you know, being the rebel and saying, I don't need help, I can do this on my own. It's funny. It can even be successful for a time. Until you wind up dead. She would eventually end up going to a clinic. She never got sober for good and would eventually pass away. One more historical note about a 14-year-old kid. It was on this day in 1923 that a 14-year-old clarinet player landed his first professional gig. His name was Benny Goodman, and he was playing on a cruise ship operating on Lake Michigan near Chicago. That 14-year-old turned out to do some pretty good things when all was said and done. We've been talking this hour about the fake electors. We've been talking about the change in the state Supreme Court, which again came about because of an election that was held here, you know, in Wisconsin. And it's an election that, again, had security. It had accuracy. It had everything that we've always known Wisconsin elections to be. And yet, there are still those who would deny that the 2020 presidential election results are valid and who continue to go along with former President Donald Trump, who leads in the polls and who may or may not be in Wisconsin 2 weeks from tomorrow when the Republican Party has its first 2024 presidential primary debate. But I couldn't help but notice not only Donald Trump's poll numbers, despite all the criminal charges against him and more that are probably going to come any time now, but that his supporters remain quite vocal. They're a minority, of course, but they remain quite vocal. And I saw a clip this morning from over the weekend with Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. You know, as rock-ribbed a Republican as it gets, the guy who gave Donald Trump a couple of U.S. Supreme Court picks by the way he operated the U.S. Senate. But he also knows that Trump is a goofball and, you know, managed to use Trump to his advantage to get all kinds of political things done, but did not attach himself at the hip, did not attach his lips to his buttocks the way, say, a Lindsey Graham has done. And for that, Mitch McConnell was essentially booed off stage in his home state of Kentucky over the weekend, trying to speak to, you know, some run-of-the-mill event. I think it was a farm-related event. And a crowd of Trump supporters kept chanting at Mitch McConnell to retire. And look, there's a case to be made for that. You saw how it appears he has suffered some kind of a mini stroke the other day, you know, in the U.S. Capitol during a press conference. And he maybe will do that on his own terms. But the fact that he's being hounded to do so now because he will not go along with Trump's big lie is very telling, not just about Trump supporters, but about the schism in the Republican Party today. It's a minority of the party that has relied on some rather unsavory characters. And we're going to tell you about the latest one in Wisconsin, who may be accused of stalking the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator. It's coming up after this news break at the top of the hour. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.